Live from the podcast studio, this is From Long Distance to Marriage with Rich and Andrea. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and are now happily married.
We talk long distance, marriage and relationships.
Hello everyone, welcome to episode 102 of From Long Distance to Marriage. I hope everyone's enjoyed Thanksgiving and in the run up to Christmas, if you celebrate it. Lockdown notwithstanding. Today we're going to be talking about unrealistic expectations. This is the next installment of our series on inappropriate behaviours. So if you haven't listened to those yet, it won't affect this episode. Each one's standalone, but you may also want to just go back probably over the last 10 episodes or so. We do it every other week, or we have been doing it every other week. So there's a few episodes to dive into if you're new to it, but as I said, this is a standalone one. You don't need to have heard that if this is your first one. So I'll let you explain this. It was your idea.
Well, I think we just wanted to touch on what unrealistic expectations can look like and what they can do to your relationship. So obviously the series is inappropriate behaviors, and hopefully you'll have seen, as we've been through a number of episodes already, that these inappropriate doesn't necessarily mean cheating or flirting or sexually inappropriate. It's just behaviors that are not...
Or abuse.
Yeah, or abuse. It doesn't just have to be the big stuff. It's anything that can have a negative effect on your relationship if it's something that is done consistently and on an ongoing basis. So what are unrealistic expectations? I think, unfortunately, we live in a time where we consume so much media that it's very easy to get the wrong idea of what we should actually expect from people in terms of our relationships. So that might be sexual expectations. We've talked a lot before about how porn is so accessible and so varied that it can give people unrealistic expectations of what they should expect in their relationship in terms of sex.
Yeah, particularly if you discover it young before you've had
a before you're exposed to it. Yeah, that can be a hugely kind of misleading thing and affect what you might expect of people. And then there's also, in terms of romance and how you're treated in a relationship, or how much attention you're given, or how many gifts you're given, or what's really expected of people to give of themselves. And, you know, it might also be that you didn't have a vision of that growing up. I know that some people who didn't have, you know, dads in their lives, then when they get married, and then they may have unrealistic expectation of their husbands in terms of how they treat their children and what they're like as a father. So there's all these sorts of things that we grow up kind of expecting something because of maybe our own expectation, just what we dreamt up of on our own or what we've been exposed to over life. They can then kind of make it so that no one you meet is ever going to be up to scratch. They're never going to meet those expectations because what you've built up in your head is so ideal that it's untouchable. And that's a really difficult thing to have in a relationship where your partner has these ideals, these benchmarks that are not achievable for you, and you're just always letting them down. Not necessarily because it's your fault, but it's because of some preconceived notion that they have of what this should look like or what that should look like, what sex should be like, how much money you should be spending on them at Christmas. And it can be really detrimental to a relationship.
Yeah, it can. And when it comes to relationships, if like you said, you know, you're consuming a lot of entertainment media, it's kind of funny in a weird way that some people don't see how that blurs the lines between reality and fiction. Like, you know, it's just entertainment. It's like some people who watch, you know, say action films and don't realise that they're unrealistic. Like, they're fun, but it's not how things would really happen. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. the bad guy does win. So you can't really fight 20, 30 people and expect to win. You know, they're entertainment. So most people watch those films and say, yeah, you know, I couldn't pull that off. That's not how it would really happen. Then you get one or two people who think that is realistic. I think they are Jackie Chan. You know, it's the same thing with any... You can have the same response to that with any genre. And if you're watching and consuming a lot of, you know, Disney and romance films and Hallmark movies, and you start to think that there's always that big twist at the end, and you know it all works out great, or you know, like you said, the certain benchmarks for how everyday relationships need to be, then you're really letting yourself, you're setting yourself up for disappointment. and unhappiness, because not only are you always going to be viewing that other person as not good enough, at some point you're going to start thinking you're not good enough, because if you were, this person would have come into your life and you would have kept them. You know, I can't keep anyone. And it's not that you're not good enough and you can't keep anyone in this instance. It's that you're expecting far too much of them, and they can't possibly live up to it.
And I think, you know, rom-coms aren't as big of a deal as they were 15, even 10 years ago. I mean, it used to be that there was always three rom-coms out. They dominated entertainment. But there's a lot less of that now, and I don't know why, but...
Well, because there's only so far you can go with that. I mean, they scraped the barrel for that genre.
You say that, but how many spy movies are they? How long has James Bond been going? How
look, James Bond could have finished 10 years ago.
Action movies you're just talking about. Like, they're never-ending. But I'm not critiquing that it's ended, or they're just not as common as they used to be.
No.
But I think I was a little bit sucked in by that, you know, growing up. You know, they were really popular when I was a teenager and a young adult, and I consumed them because I'm the perfect demographic to consume a rom-com. And I know that I found myself thinking, you know, when am I going to find this plot line, you know? And it's like, well,
and it's even in common vernacular, people say, like, oh, you know, I'm waiting for my Prince Charming, my Mr. Darcy, like, my knight in shining armor. Like, people talk about it in real life. Yeah, so it's certainly filtered its way down.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, I'm not bashing rom-coms. I love a good rom-com. I live for a good rom-com. But I can see how, for those of us who especially don't have anything kind of romantic happening in our lives, when we consume that, you do start to think, well, this is how it's going to be, and this is how it should be, and this is how it will be, and da-da-da-da, and that's how it's going to work, and then it doesn't. And, you know, those of you who know our story, from the time Rich and I were kind of tried to make it work the first time when we were about 20, to the time that we were 23 and we did make it work, I was single. I had dates and met people and you know, went out a couple times. And probably even before, I was probably properly single and from 18 until we got together formally at 23. And that's a long time to consume that and hope for that and kind of daydream about that. And of course, you know, we tried to make it work, we couldn't, so there was a lot of kind of wistful romancy what ifness happening in my brain during that time. And I mean, yeah, we did kind of get a rom-com storyline in terms of our story, but not everybody does. And it would have been a disservice to our relationship if, as it was budding and blossoming, I was constantly comparing it to these storylines that I had seen in film or whatever. If, you know, if we touched on earlier that people can have unrealistic expectations of their partner as a parent, it'd be doing a disservice to your family's journey to pick apart your reality and compare it to what you think a mother should be like, or what you think a father should be like, or what, you know, the mom and Leave It to Beaver is like. You know, these things can affect our realistic kind of interpretation of the world and mess it up.
Yeah, and it's not really any different to, you know, when people say, you know, Barbie comes in for a lot of criticism now of how she looks, and people say it sets unrealistic expectations for body image, and you know, men had similar with, like we said, you know, the action heroes of the 80s and the cartoons you got watching were like He-Man and stuff like that. You know, both genders had it, but there's a lot of focus nowadays on why or how that can be negative, and how if you try and portray that to real life. And the same thing, you know, come back to porn, talking about the way they look, it's always the most attractive people or the most well-endowed people or whatever it may be. It's like, you know, they're taking people who are way above average in terms of looks or physique or whatever it may be, and saying this is what everyone needs to aspire to. Where it's not really getting the same attention is what you just said about the emotional side of things, behaviours. But it's just as important, and I think maybe that would be a good comparison if, you know, for anyone listening to this who's maybe followed or paid attention to or paying deliberate attention to their own behaviours when it comes to physical comparisons and thinking, yep, you know, I'm guilty of that, or I think that's really important that these dolls and shows and things for kids, I think it's important that this is now in the public domain for conversation. Maybe that's something you can bear in mind when you're comparing how someone behaves to films you've watched or books you've read or whatever it may be. You know, the comparison is just as insidious and problematic.
Definitely. And it's also important to recognize that if you're not meeting your partner's expectations, that doesn't necessarily mean that they have unrealistic expectations.
Yeah.
You might be dropping the ball. And that's where it gets really difficult, because you may not see that you're not meeting their needs, or you might think that it's their problem that you're not meeting their needs.
Well, it kind of depends what the expectation is. Because we have, like any couple, we've had these conversations over the years, and sometimes the expectation is, look, the bin's full, can it be taken out? You know, can you... Well, the common one for us is, you know, putting stuff in the dishwasher. You know, that's not an unrealistic expectation to have, and it's, I'm assuming, not born out of a rom-com that you watched years ago.
No.
So there's the distinction, and then there's the expectation itself. And if you can say hand on heart that I don't think that expectation's unfair, and it comes from wanting a nice home, let's say, or it just comes from wanting to feel noticed or appreciated, yeah, those are all normal, healthy, necessary behaviours. Yeah, certainly valid. If it's, I want him to sweep me off my feet every day, I want him to do what that guy in that movie did, yeah, that's a different thing. And it also comes down to how's the conversation going, because it's a common problem that you have expectations that you don't communicate, because part of the expectation is they know it.
Mm.
It's almost like a benchmark for them, like a judgment stick. I don't know if that's a thing.
Judgment stick?
You know, where it's like...
Behold, the stick of judgment.
What am I thinking of?
I don't know.
Well, we'll go benchmark. But, you know, it's like the expectation is not just the behaviour. It's that if you're really meant to be, if they're perfect for you, they will just do it. Like, when people say, it's not that I want you to do, it's not that I want you to do this, I want you to want to do it for me.
And that, you know what, that is fair to an extent.
It is fair, I'm not saying it's not fair, but what's not fair is if you don't communicate that and then judge them against it. You know, there are times a lot of people would do that. There are times think, you know what, yep, kitchen's a state, I'll do that, so you haven't got to. If I'm up before you, I'll do that. I think everyone will do things on occasion, but if it's an expectation that's incredibly important to you, or as you said, you just think you're dropping the ball, you think your partner's dropping the ball, communication is really, really important, because otherwise you're expecting to be a mind reader. So you're expecting them to meet this expectation that may be quite lofty, and then when they don't, you're judging them on the fact that they're not doing it, which isn't fair. It's like, you know, if you go to work, and your boss has expectations of you, and then never tells you that, you know, your work could be improved here, or, you know, this is a bit of feedback for you. And then just out of the blue, they say that...
You're fired, you've been doing a bad job.
Yeah. You would rightfully turn around and say, well, hang on, you've not given me any feedback on this. Like, where's this come from? I thought I was doing a good job, because otherwise I would have heard from you. It's the same thing in relationships, and you can put yourself in their shoes. Like, how would you like it? I'm assuming if you're not hearing anything, you're not getting any communication that, you know, certain things could be improved, or they're not feeling valued or special or whatever it may be. If you're not hearing that, you're probably thinking it's all good. So if it comes out of the blue that it's not all good and you're massively failing, you're going to feel blindsided by that.
Yeah, totally. And it's really silly, because this communication aspect can clear up a lot of confusion and a lot of misunderstanding in a relationship. But it is hard. It does take vulnerability. And the problem is that, you know, you touched on this a second ago. I know in particular, I can't speak for men and I can't speak for all women, but I can certainly speak for myself and many women I've spoken to, that we often don't want to have to say, I want this, because we do want you to just do it without us asking for it. Sometimes you should not have to be asking for it. So, for example, if you've had a really long day, you've been out of the house from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. working, and your partner's kind of been home a bit more and the house is a state, they should understand that it's kind of on them to get dinner ready or clean the house or whatever it is. Like, that's not unrealistic. That is valid. They should understand that. If you want something very specific that, you know, maybe you want them to make you a hot chocolate every evening that they can after you've made dinner or something, like, you need to ask for that. That there's no way to know that. There's no kind of logical connection that they can make, like they would make coming home and seeing, oh, the house is a shithole, she's been out all day, or he's been out all day, I should probably clean up a little bit so it's nice, you know. So some things you do have to communicate. And for women, it's almost a stubbornness or a pride thing that we have to step up and ask for it when a lot of what we've been told by our families growing up, you know, maybe, you know, you're a princess, you deserve the best, he should give you everything. Or even in rom-coms, you know, you do have to stand up and ask for things in life. And the older you get, you're going to understand that, not just romantically, but professionally, developmentally, materialistically, you know, you have to fight for yourself. And you kind of have to do that in a relationship. And the earlier you speak up about it, the less of a fight it's going to be. So for women, you often don't want to ask for what you want because you don't want to have to ask. You just want them to know. For men, it can be a bit more of a vulnerability thing. You know, guys can struggle to be vulnerable and say, hey, you know, I need this, you know. But if everyone would just put their shit aside, it would all work so much more easily.
Yeah, the thing as well that the rom-coms and things don't really portray, I mean, you know, you have to remember, like, and we've seen this with, like, Netflix and stuff come along where it now, you tell a story over a longer, like, a full series and you get so much more depth to it. You know, a movie is, like, hour and a half, 2 hours. It's a very short period of time. So they're just really cut into the good bits.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that gets left out of that is that relationships have a rhythm. You know, there's, like, an ebb and a flow to it and everyone's may vary. But things change, too. Like, over the years, as you communicate, as you know more about each other, you respond to the environment and the circumstances you find yourself in. So what happens on day one isn't necessarily what it's going to be like on day 1001.
Mm.
You know, and so, you know, the movie ends with happily ever after. Like, they get married and that's it. You know, that's the beginning. And probably a more realistic film to watch is that This Is 40, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, over time, when you've got all that familiarity, when you've put years into raising a family, when you're really fighting the day-to-day and the stresses and things, you know, because the stress in rom-com is normally that we're not together yet. They're not dealing with, oh my God, you know, we've got credit card debt to pay, we've got this to do, we've got that to do, the kids are sick, school issues, you know, like, real life gets in the way. And like I said, there's a rhythm there and it's, okay, well, I'll do this, you do that. For the time being, this is what the division of labor is, but that can change.
Yeah.
So you have to communicate that. You can't just, unless you're genuinely married to someone who claims to be a psychic, in which case you can have all the expectations you want. But for everyone else, you have to have the communication.
Yes, and it's important to think about what the unrealistic expectations you might have are doing to your partner, and then therefore doing to your relationship. So if maybe your partner's sex drive is lower than yours, or there's certain areas in the bedroom that they're not eager to explore like you are, that has to be an understanding journey. It can't be a demanding, well, they do it in porn, or I know my friend's wife does it, like, why won't you do it? And da-da-da, like, doesn't matter. You know, it goes back to what our parents used to say to us. Well, my friend on the street has a brand new PlayStation, why can't I have one? Like, well, that's great, but that's not us. See, like, you can't compare what you have and what your life is to what someone else's is, because everyone is different. Everyone has different compatibility. And, you know, shaming each other on these things is not the way to go. And it's the same if, you know, your partner makes what you think isn't enough money and your expectation is that you should be completely cared for, that you shouldn't have to work, or that they should be making this much. You know, there's things that we can all work towards, and we should. You know, if your partner has an expectation that maybe is unrealistic, and you can highlight to them that, you know, it's not really realistic that you expect this of me, but let's see what compromise is available, that maybe I can do more to get more in that direction of what you're looking for. And you can maybe be a bit more realistic and understand that my effort is amazing. You know, whatever that is, if that's making more money, like, okay, you know what? Maybe I haven't been trying as hard at work. Maybe I haven't been hitting my targets and I'm not getting bonuses. And you know what? You're right. I need to pick my ass up a bit.
Yeah, like, maybe, but there's also a fine line here and we can't comment on it. This is going to vary from relationship to relationship. But there's a fine line there between someone being encouraging and,
oh, whatever, yeah, for sure,
and someone being toxic. And that's something else you see in movies all the time. You know, actually, someone's just with a complete bitch or whatever.
Bastard.
Yeah, you know, so that's something to watch out for. You know, it could be that you're really happy with the job you do, but you're with someone who's just unrealistic about it or very selfish about it. And you know, if you want to be completely taken care of, then that's what babies need.
And that's unrealistic.
And how happy are you really going to be if you're just everything's at your whim? You know, I doubt that's really a recipe for happiness. But yeah, you know, so the unrealistic expectations and it being an inappropriate behaviour, you know, as always, we've got the disclaimer that it varies from relationship to relationship. And it could just be someone saying, you know, you're being underpaid for the work you do. And, you know, you could actually be, you deserve much more. That's one thing, that puts it sounds more caring. It's another thing to say, look, I need more
from you.
And you need to pull your finger. You need to earn more money. Like, my dad took care of my mum, and I need you to do that for me. And I want all the fancy toys, and I want the expensive stuff. Two different things.
Yeah.
But from a distance, you can look at both of them and say, well, that's someone who wants you to earn more money. So, you know, use your judgment on that. And you, when you're up close and personal to it, or your friends and family can see it, that behaviour is normally quite easy to spot.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, it trickles down into attention and support and romance. You know, I think something that people really struggle with too, kind of maybe as one of the last notes we touched on this, is that it's really easy to get used to how your partner treats you in the beginning of your relationship. And we've talked about this in many different episodes. I know people where they used to send flowers to work once a month to their girlfriend, and, you know, they grew to look forward to it. And it became a thing of, it's probably not that exciting anymore. I've been doing it for so long, but if I stop, it's going to be a big, why have you stopped doing this? Or, you know, we wine and dine each other. It's all romance. We make ourselves look as presentable as we can to start with. And, you know, you get comfortable, and that infatuation and that desire turns into actual love and acceptance. And so you don't have to do those things as much to still feel like you're accepted and loved. But eventually you can think, oh, hold on a second. When did all this change? When did he start taking me out to Baja Fresh and flip-flops and basketball shorts? You know, this is very different to our nights at Nobu, dressed up, looking fancy. You know, I mean, it happens, and some of it's natural and some of it's not. So
yeah, it is. But that naturalness, that's complacency. Like, default human behavior is just comfort and feeling secure. So like, we default to that, and it's really important. And I think the couples that end up being the happiest are the ones that fight that.
Mm-hmm.
You're the ones that say, look, you know, of course I want to still be presentable for them. Of course I want to still make them be proud of who they married. And, you know, that's and that's not something we've always done. I think it's something, like, I never really used to pay much attention to. You know, our whole marriage has been a big learning curve. But I do think that's important, though.
Yeah. All I'm saying is that...
No, I know you know, but, like, yeah, we know people who literally are like that, where it's like they let themselves go physically, they just like, just very slobbish, you know. There's like, it's almost like that. What you're really saying, the message you're sending out is, you know, you're not worth me making an effort for. They would make the effort to leave the house. I mean, even just to go to the shops and buy bread, they'd put some different clothes on, you know. But, and I get you want to feel comfortable and stuff at home, but what you're saying to your partner in that situation is like, you're not worth that.
But what I'm also saying, I mean, there's two sides to this coin, because yes, that's all true if you just turn into a slob, but also, like, when you're first together and you're always seeing each other for dates and maybe you don't live together, yeah, of course you're going to see each other always best foot forward. When you actually live together, it's unrealistic to expect that. You're going to see nasty breath first thing in the morning. You're going to see before the makeup goes on. You're going to see days where they just don't feel like being fancy, or...
Yeah, and that's important too.
That's okay.
That's seeing the real person.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, you know, making the effort so...
Yeah, I know.
They still see you make the effort, and you try and keep yourself in good shape. You try and stay healthy. You try and, like, just not live in pajamas and stuff like that. But yeah, it's important too that you see the real person. Well, that's important to us at least.
I had a boyfriend and we were only together for a few months, and he, like, wore basketball shorts all the time. And I don't think I thought it then, but, like, obviously it ended for many, many reasons. But looking back, it's like, what would he have been like 2 years later if in the beginning he couldn't be bothered to put actual jeans or nice, you know, like, outerwear shorts, like, at least khaki shorts or something. Like, where would that go? And that's something to be aware of. But all I mean on that point was that things relax, and those romantic expectations that you have in the beginning, while you still have to have romantic expectations and you should always make an effort both ways, both people, it is going to relax and it is going to change, and that's okay. And your expectation, like, you shouldn't be freaking out with your expectations. If you've been together for a year, you're moving in, and he's not always taking you out to dinner on Friday night, like, talk about it, address what that means. But what will it look like now? You know, these things are important. But having those unrealistic expectations in any area of your relationship is going to beat the other person down. It's going to make them feel that they're not good enough, or it's going to make them hate you and resent you because they just can't deal with your expectations anymore. So it's really important to do that self-reflection that we talk about a lot. Examine your behavior, examine your expectations, and talk to your partner about it. You know, be vulnerable. Say, look, you know, I've had this expectation of you. I've communicated it to you and you're not meeting it. Let's talk about this. Am I being unrealistic, or are you just not trying, or is there somewhere in the middle? Like, just talk about it. Like, so many people just don't talk about these things, and it's okay to do that. It's okay to address it, and it's okay for you to be wrong. Wow, okay. You know, listening to your side makes me realize that maybe I have been unrealistic in this, or actually, you know what? I'm right. I need to stick to this. You know, It's something that's affecting the both of you, so you should work through it together. It can't just be you sitting there defending your corner, because we've talked about this before too. Like, relationships work best when you realize you are both on the same team. It's not team him. It's not team her. It's not, you know, team him, you know, however relationships made up. You guys are working towards a common goal, which is life together. And that takes both of you supporting each other and trying to give each other what you need, and also realizing when you're not being fair.
Yeah, a good, you know, once you finish listening to this episode, it'd be worth going back and listening to. We've got a few on communication, verbal communication, and then we've got one on non-verbal communication, which is probably particularly important to understand what that looks like, how it works, how you implement it, and how people respond to it. So everything in this episode is probably a good kind of accompaniment to the communication episode we've got, and especially for something that you struggle with, you know, either you can struggle with, really understand why it's important, especially if your expectation is they just get it, or you think, how do I say that without it being an argument? I've tried to communicate that. It's better if I just keep the peace. It's never better to just keep the peace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really, you're just training them that the way they get an easy life is be mean to you once, and then that's it, you know. So it's never easy to keep the peace. But yeah, so we talk about how to communicate in a way that is mature and grown up, not in a manipulative way to get your own way, but if you're experiencing these conversations where you feel like there's no point because it just descends into an argument or you can't control it, we talk about that. And then the non-verbal communication episode is about, you know, there are some things that we want but don't know we want enough to communicate it, or we can't verbalize it, and you know, that's what the non-verbal communication is about. So yeah, I think listen to this episode and then check out those ones, and hopefully you'll feel more in control, more empowered, and more well equipped to, you know, fix these little issues with your relationship.
Yeah, absolutely, and it is worth the work. It really is. You know, once you start talking about this stuff and actually making an effort to figure out how to give each other what you need and what you do actually need, it will pay off, and it doesn't take that long to start seeing the results. I mean, we look back over some things that we've been working on even just a year ago, how vastly different they are and how much our relationship has benefited. So, you know, keep those expectations in check. You know, you wouldn't have unrealistic expectations of an employee, you know, that they should always get everything right the first time they do it, or that they should have coffee perfect on your desk at this time. Like, you give slack to other people, and we are so horrible at giving slack to our partners at times, some of us, many of us, I think. So something to think about there. Anyways, you can find us, as always, longdistancetomarriage.com, and on Twitter and Instagram at Mr. and Mrs. Distance.
Yes. And also, you know, worth plugging our Ultimate Guide to Long Distance Relationships again, especially coming up to Christmas and the New Year. And if you work on your relationships, or you're looking to maybe just got into a long distance relationship, or you're always looking to improve it, or you're looking to close the distance, we cover everything on there. So you can find that on our website too, under the resources section. And it'd make a good gift.
It would. Perfect Christmas gift. Thanks, guys. Have a good week. Bye.